I knew what I did, and I knew where the mercury is more or less buried.
That is Kaz Glowacki. Back in the 70s, he worked in the old Dryden, Ontario pulp and paper mill. The mill was upstream from the Grassy Narrows community in northern Ontario, a community that has been plagued for decades with mercury poisoning, affecting its river, its fish, and its people. Though it was 40 years ago, Mr. Glowacki still remembers how he and other mill workers disposed of the extremely hazardous material.
We had emptied out this salt vat, and as we were emptying out the salt vat, I was coming across veins of mercury. There was mercury that was pooling on my shovel in the vat itself, and then we buried it, and the way the barrels were buried, it made me wonder whether or not it'd be leaking. And of course, after 40 years, was anybody monitoring the site itself where the barrels were buried?
Well, about 2 years ago, Mr. Glowacki wrote to the Ontario government to clear his conscience of the dumping he'd helped with 40 years earlier. He's now 65 years old. He suffers from illnesses he, too, attributes to mercury exposure. The Ontario government looked into his claims and concluded it could not find the site. But the environmental group Earthroots pressed Mr. Glowacki for details on where the site might be located.
And, of course, the road system behind the mill had changed. There was a new road put in. And I was able to coordinate between the pictures, the newer pictures and the older pictures, and look at the differences in the topography and the landscaping and say, oh, hey, this looks familiar. And was able to circle the spots where I thought it was more realistic.
Well, Earthroots has now discovered the levels of mercury in that area are higher than expected and need more investigation. Just this week, the federal government weighed in. Ottawa has promised to work with the province of Ontario on what it calls next steps to address the ongoing mercury contamination. Simon Phobister is the chief of Grassy Narrows. He joins me from his home. Hello.
Hello. Good morning, Anna-Marie.
What was your reaction to the federal government intention to get behind more research or these next steps on the mercury in Grassy Narrows?
Well, we welcomed the involvement. We had great difficulty in even having the federal government come to the Mercury Disability Board review. They were afraid of liability on their part, reopening those discussions, because it's kind of dysfunctional in that some of our band members who were entitled to the award have never received an award, and some of them guided for years and some commercial fished for years. So it's a good sign that the federal government is now wading in, especially on this on the cleanup of the supposedly contaminated site, and we need to have our independent scientists go to that site and examine it. And we've made that demand with Minister Murray, who is the
provincial minister.
Minister of Environment and Climate Change. And,
so, you know, we did request an interview with Carolyn Bennett, the Minister of Indigenous Affairs and Northern Development. She's not available. We did get a statement from her office, and I'm going to read you part of it. They say, as part of the Mercury Disability Board renewal, we, along with federal and provincial partners, will meet with the chief of Grassy Narrows to determine the next steps to effectively act on the mercury contamination. So they suggest they're looking for guidance from you. Are you hopeful about that then?
Well, I mean, the provincial government was very willing to review the Mercury Disability Board, and they came to the table willingly, but the federal government wouldn't. And I'm happy to hear that the ministers of Indigenous Affairs, Carolyn Bennett, saying that they're willing to come to the table now. Well, that's an about face.
Mm.
But that's okay too. You know, we're thinking positive here.
Tell me a little bit about what mercury has done to people's health in your community.
Well, obviously, especially the Japanese doctors when they came from Japan, and they've had, you know, they're experts in diagnosing people with that have Minamata disease, mercury poisoning, and they're the foremost experts in the world, and they came to Grassi a number of times over the years, about four or five times, maybe, perhaps. Maybe I'm underestimating the numbers, but over the years they've come here to examine people, and they do extensive tests, and they found that that our band members had symptoms of mercury poisoning, Minamata disease, and so I mean there's no dispute that our band members are suffering from Minamata disease, mercury poisoning.
Well, in fact, the latest study just came out last September, right? They've underlined that it's still happening in younger in younger members.
Yes, it is. Although, like what they're saying is that we're having long-term exposure to mercury, although it's at low levels, but as you get older, it amplifies, you know.
Right, because it accumulates, right?
Symptoms, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, Chief, how old are you?
I'm 61 years young.
Okay, so in other words, this has been an issue that's been in your community since you were a boy.
Oh, of course, yeah. I used to work at, I'm sorry. My dad used to work at Ball Lake Lodge when Barney Lamb used to own the lodge. So, yeah, I was raised there and during the summers when I was not going to residential school.
So why has this dragged on for so many years? They've known since the 70s.
Well, they closed down commercial fishing in 1970, the Ministry of Natural Resources of Ontario, and I think it was called lands. I'm not sure if it was called lands and forests at the time, but they shut it down. So it affected a resource revenue stream that our people depended upon, and also Barney decided to close his lodge down, and he employed 100 employees. And he had 100 guests a day, so it was a 1-to-1 ratio. And when that closed down, families lost another revenue stream, and it was very devastating to our community, economy-wise, and then of course, later on, you know, health-wise as well.
So it just keeps on going. How confident are you that this latest announcement from the federal government will actually move your community to move this issue to final resolution, to some kind of real conclusion?
Well, the thing is, we've been demanding that our community, our members, and of course, leadership, the political leadership, have called Ontario to clean up the river. And so far, they've taken the first step, which is launching a $300,000 study for scientists to locate the hot spot where the mercury sludges are, and then to recommend cleanup methods. Not necessarily dredging, but there's science has moved to a point now where they can use products or whatever to neutralize the mercury in the river system, or even to have ways to cover up the deposits with silt and mud and so on and so on. I'm not a scientist, but the team that has been assembled are pretty positive that they can neutralize the mercury in the river system. However, what compounds the issue now is that there's still mercury being leaked from the the paper mill site.
Right. Well, okay, and we're going to pick up on that with one of our guests who's waiting in the wings. Simon Phobister, thank you.
Okay. Have a good day.
You too. That is Chief Simon Phobister, Chief of Grassy Narrows.
In our family, like my daughter has cancer, and she has thyroid disease, and she has skin problems, like lupus. And so, like, for us, you know, we blame it all on mercury. My granddaughter has thyroid disease. She's only 10 years old. So to us, like, mercury is affecting us, everybody, even the little kids.
That is Barbara Phobister. She spoke with CBC reporter Jody Porter last September. For more on the realities of living with mercury in Grassy Narrows, CBC reporter Jody Porter is in our studio in Thunder Bay. Hi, Jody.
Good morning.
I guess, first of all, Phobister is a common name, right? Is she related, or do we know?
There's lots of Phobisters in Grassy Narrows, certainly, and they're not all related.
Okay, just so that we know we're talking to different people. But what Barbara Phobister says is just she's surrounded by health problems related to mercury. How common is that?
So when the Japanese experts were in Grassy Narrows in September, part of the research they presented to the community was their findings that 90 to 95% of the people in Grassy Narrows experience some symptoms of mercury poisoning. And what Dr. Hanada said was that, you know, it is normal here for people to have these experiences. It's not normal anywhere else in the world. It's normal in Grassy Narrows and its neighboring community, Wabsamung. And when you think about that, Anna Maria, this normalization of illness is really difficult to deal with in a community. And as you've been talking about, this has been going on for 50 years. So there's lots of twists and turns in this story, and we're taking one of those twists today. But sometimes we get bogged down in the details because it has gone on for so long. So really today what we're talking about are three different things. We're talking about, you heard the chief talk about the problems with the Mercury Disability Board. So the Japanese experts say 90 to 95% of the people are experiencing symptoms. But we know that of those who apply to the Disability Board, only 27% actually get any form of compensation from the board. So that's a problem. That's a problem.
Mm.
We also know that the leading mercury experts in North America have said that this mercury that was dumped in the river, 9,000 kilograms of it, that has never been cleaned up. The leading mercury experts in North America are saying it can be cleaned up and it should be cleaned up. That was in government-funded a report that came out last spring. And now we have this third issue, this compounding issue, that those researchers also found an ongoing source of mercury near the Dryden Mill. And now we've had Cass Glowacki, the former worker, come forward and say, this is where I think it is. And we've had some environmentalists do some research to say, yeah, we think it might be there too.
So you've been to Grassy Narrows so many times. What's it like? How remote is it?
It's about 50 kilometers from Kenora. Kenora is a city on the Manitoba-Ontario border. And when you say it's 50 kilometers from there, it sounds like it might be a short drive. And locals can do it a little quicker than I can. It takes me about an hour and a half to drive that because, Anna Maria, it's one of the most beautiful drives you will ever take in your life. But it's also one of the most treacherous drives. It's a narrow logging road. So you see all this phenomenal landscape. You're right on the edge of lakes and the backdrop of the boreal forest, but you don't dare stop to take a picture to show it to anyone because there's no shoulder and you'd be putting yourself in danger and anyone coming down the road in danger. So you drive down this road. It takes me about an hour and a half to get to Grassy Narrows, and then you come to this beautiful community that's also on a lake. And one of the things that always strikes me about Grassy Narrows that's unique in this part of the world, in the First Nations I've traveled to, is in the place where there might usually be a church high on a hill in the community looking over the community, what is in Grassy Narrows in that place is a trapper's lodge, a gathering place where people learn on the land skills. And certainly people in Grassy Narrows are very connected to the land and very connected to traditional lifestyles.
And they, of course, are dealing with so much of ongoing mercury poisoning. I have another clip here that you gathered, I guess, last time you were there. This is Steve Phobister.
I feel very depressed sometimes. I You can't even button your shirts, tie your shoes anymore, put on your shoes. You become really hopeless. And the constant pain and swallowing becomes very difficult. It's a sad world.
And Jody, so this is a constant issue. You're meeting all of these people, and younger people still have this. Just to be clear, the mill no longer exists?
There is a mill in Dryden. It's currently owned by Domtar. That's a touchy subject. So it was Reed Paper. The mill was at that same site was owned by Reed Paper, and it was Reed Paper's chemical plant that dumped the mercury into, we know this, this is fact, it dumped 9,000 kilograms of mercury into the water in the 1960s and 70s.
Concern is now that it is still, there's still mercury that was dumped in other part, like that was buried, that got loose. It's not that it's still coming out of a plant.
So there is a research group, a public interest research group that did research on this in the 70s, and they found the logs of Reed Paper and the amount of mercury that went into the mill that was purchased by the mill. They found those logs, and they found the amount of mercury that was accounted for in effluents. And there is a discrepancy in what can be accounted for. There was more mercury that went into that mill than is known to have come out. So it's somewhere. And the mystery now is, where is that mercury, and is that the ongoing source? Is that the reason that everyone said back in the 70s, well, yes, there was this problem, but it will dissipate, it will go away, but it hasn't. And now we have this other generation of people at Grassy Narrows suffering from mercury poisoning.
How frustrating how frustrated are the members of that community then?
Well, I think about someone like Steve Phobister, who you heard from. This is a former chief. This is one of the smartest men I have ever met. And Steve, in order to talk to me, the disability is such that he has to put his thumb on his chin so that his lower jaw will move. And also, there's this sensory disruption. That's the most common symptom. So your fingers and your toes, you lose feeling. So to type, to communicate by type is also difficult. I've watched people navigate the touch screen on a phone, right? That's very difficult if you can't feel your fingertips. So there's the traditional skills that have been lost, that, you know, the sewing, the trapping, those things that need fine motor skills. But there is this new generation that has this experience of this new technology that they're also struggling with. And, you know, often, Anna Maria, when discussions like this come up, people say, well, you know, why don't First Nations people leave? Why don't they leave their community? And there's many, many reasons for that. We talked about the attachment of the land to the land,
right,
in Grassy Narrows. But the other thing you have to think about is this sensory disruption, this neurological disease that people in Grassy Narrows and Wapsimung experience. They mimic the symptoms of what is a stereotype of First Nations people, very sadly, in Canada. They mimic symptoms of drunkenness, of intoxication. So, you know, you're off balance a little bit because you can't feel your feet and you can't use your fingers properly. So if you're in a community, if you decide to move out, if you're in a place that's not familiar with mercury poisoning and disability, that stereotype is going to be fresh in people's minds, unfortunately.
Right. Maybe nowhere to go. Yeah. Jody Porter, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your work. Jody Porter, CBC reporter in Thunder Bay, Ontario. Gord Miller is the chair of Earthroots, the organization that acted on Kaskalo-Wakiis information to test soil upstream from Grassy Narrows, where they found mercury contamination. Gord Miller is also the former environmental commissioner of the province of Ontario. He joins us from North Bay, Ontario. Hello.
Hello.
What were you able to find based on the information that Mr. Glowacki passed on to you?
Well, of course, Mr. Glowacki passed the information on to the government first, and the government did some studies, but basically they looked in the wrong place. We went to Mr. Glowacki. We took aerial photographs from 1968 where the road conditions and the land was a little different than it is these 45 years later, and he was able to orientate and say, wait a minute, oh yeah, this is probably the area here. So the government could have done that, but they did not for whatever reason. They went and did a study and looked and said, oh, there's nothing there. And we said, well, we'll go to where Mr. Glowacki says it's likely, And we don't have the resources of the government, but we can go in and take samples, and we raise, you know, money to pay for any analysis, and we use volunteers to go in, and we took samples in control areas that are outside of Mr. Glowacki's area, and we went into where he said it was, and we found extremely high levels of mercury.
And when you say extremely high, what does that mean?
Well, it's far, we didn't sort of find the barrels. We didn't find liquid mercury. But mind you, we only went down 24 inches in depth, right? So, but we found levels of mercury that if they existed in a brownfield site in southern Ontario, the government would insist before you did anything on that site, it would all have to be excavated properly and sent to a hazardous waste site. I mean, that's how much contamination. And this is not land right by the mill that you say, oh, well, it's sort of in spillage and that sort of. This is back in what you would say is a young forest area. It's remote. It's backlands behind the mill. And yet the contamination is as great as there as you'd find in a heavily contaminated industrial site.
When were you the Environmental Commissioner of Ontario?
I retired from Environmental Commissioner job in May of 2015.
Is this something you looked at in that job?
Well, my ties to this go back to, believe it or not, back to 1972. I was a student in university, and the very first environmental thing that I got involved with was a protest of Reed paper, which we used to call greed paper in those days. The original flare up of this, and then I worked for the Ministry of Environment in the 80s. And although I didn't have this file, I was certainly, you know, tracking it and I was a scientist for the Ministry of the Environment for a while, and then I was in pollution abatement. So we saw this going, developing all along. I still have the reports from the 1980s that the ministry scientists did on this, and we thought it was going to get better, but they didn't count on the fact that there may be still new and ongoing discharges coming from the mill. The assumption was everything had been dumped and it was, you know, in the lake, in the river, and we had to deal with it.
Well, I'm asking because it's gone on for so long. Like in the 70s, everybody knew. But so when you were environmental commissioner, were you frustrated by the fact that your own department wasn't doing more?
Oh, I was environmental commissioner. It's not the Ministry of Environment. The Environmental Commissioner of Ontario, people won't understand in other provinces, but it's a watchdog. It's an officer of the legislature that oversees 14 government ministries in their decision-making about the environment.
So you could be even more frustrated.
Yes, that's right. I oversaw these people, and so the level of frustration builds, especially, you know, when one, you know, here's a problem that's persisted, my whole career. I mean, I'm not complaining because it's not as bad, of course, as the people who live there. But the frustration is we've got to focus on a solution and get on with this. I mean, this is nonsense. These people have been exposed to, it's way back since the 60s. At least in the 60s, they didn't know about the mercury pollution. But we've known since 1970 that people are being poisoned. And it's long overdue to solve this problem once and for all.
And so how long will that really take, realistically?
Realistically, I think, you know, I would say, you know, I have years of experience as a science and in pollution abatement. You have to have the two levels of government engaged for a period of something like, I'm saying, 10 years as a guess. This is not 1 year. This is not 2 years. This is not a measure of months. They're going to have to go and survey the entire site. Now we know from our work, the land's behind the mill. There's buried waste there. We have to find that. There's probably residual material just on the mill site itself, just from handling and movement of things that can leach into the water. And then once you've stopped the original sources, you've got to go into the river, as the chief was talking about. He talked about some of the techniques they've looked at already to isolate and trap this stuff in the deep
right.
sediments.
So you're talking a decade.
We're talking a long-term commitment from the government. Heavily involved and under the supervision of the First Nation.
Okay, Gord Miller, we have to leave it there, but thank you for your time today.
You're welcome.
Gord Miller, Chair of Earthroots, former Environmental Commissioner of Ontario. He joined us from North Bay. Let us know what you think. You can tweet us at The Current CBC. Go to our website, cbc.ca/thecurrent, and click on the contact link. They've been fighting this one for so very long.